So you're sitting here and you're listening to Brothering Around, which means that you like things spoken to you. What if I told you that there is a website dedicated to reading books to you out there in listener land? Our friends at Audible have set up a trial for all fans of Brothering Around at audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. You can look at their entire library, 180,000 audiobooks. You don't even have to turn the pages yourself. If you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you get a free audiobook on the house from your boys here at Brothering Around, plus a 30-day free trial to listen to any of those 180,000 that they have to choose from. So I know if you're like me, you're a little on the lazy side, turning pages might be a lot of effort. Have them read the books to you. What's better than that? Go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, 30-day free trial, a free book on the house from your boys here at Brothering Around. How is it already near the end of January?
Right?
Jeez.
It's already here.
It's almost Christmas again, man. Like, I just jump all the way to the end. Like, oh, I can't believe it.
Time jump.
Only 321 days. No. Until Christmas. Oh.
Man, I got to think about what to get now.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. If we head over to somewhere like a Kmart, they probably still have their Christmas trees, and they're like, oh, fuck it, we'll just leave them up all year. Come buy them whenever you want. Come get them in the middle of May, that's fine.
You know what I'm going to do? Either on Black Friday or like maybe like the day before Christmas or like Christmas Eve or on Christmas,
I'm gonna
make a sign picket acting like I'm in protest, but it's just going to read audibletrial.com/brotheringaround and I'll just march like where the big lines are at.
Yes.
Like, so everybody can get that free trial.
They're like,
they check out that Audible trial.
Yeah, they're like, that guy's angry about something. I better check that out. I better go sign that petition.
Oh yeah, I got to put the clickbait. Like, you'll be surprised at what happens here.
Doctors hate him.
Yeah.
This one unique trick. I hate that clickbait shit.
That's the hustle. That's gonna be the hustle.
But is that the hustle now? Like, because okay, before we get too far into this topic, I'm Wes Gardner, Comedy Hobo. That's Marco Flores, Nerd in the Bay.
Yeah.
So this clickbait shit, man. This clickbait.
Oh no, I was talking about me and the picket sign and
oh yeah. Oh, that hustle I'm A-okay with. It's this clickbait nonsense, man. And I mean, this might be old hat making fun of clickbait because that was like 3 years ago, but it's still like, it's still, if you go on anybody's face, mm-hmm. What she says next will make you think of your life forever or what. And you're like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. You can't believe what she looks like now.
Yeah. It looks like a normal person who aged 10 years. Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Right.
But there is that awesome account called Stop Clickbait, which it posts the images of clickbait. Is sugar really causing cancer? And then all they put is no, like in big letters. Like, you don't have to click the article anymore. Like, they just give you the answer. God bless those people, man.
Before we get started, I want to redraft or update my boys list.
Ooh.
Just taking out two people.
Awesome.
Just want to take out two people.
Some true audibles.
You got me. A true audible. So I'm taking out, who did I say? I'm taking out Hurricane, and I'm taking out James Ellsworth.
Oh.
And I'm going to put in Norman Smiley.
Oh, man.
The Big Wiggle and Kluber.
Oh, shit.
Do you know who Kluber is?
I may have
MacGruber's half brother.
Oh my god!
He doesn't speak English, so it's hard to understand him.
That's Kluber. Genius.
He loves his baby brother, Kluber. A little bit of the song that he sang when that guy MacGruber guest starred on Raw.
That's so good. That is a deep cut. Like,
yeah. And it's a recent one too, but like, I love that the great Khali went with this MacGruber gimmick.
That is essentially like a Kerwin White type of gimmick right there. Yeah. But yeah. That is that. Yeah. This lasted for three horrifying weeks, and then you know what I mean. And that was it.
Oh man, I go back from time to time and watch that promo. Oh, it's still hilarious.
So, but and poor Khali, man. Like,
he'll do anything.
He will. Good on him, right? He gets it. He does the dances. He's not like Big Show New Year's baby in it. He's doing his own thing. That terrible gimmick match he had though with the Punjabi prison or whatever what was it called?
Yeah, I think you're right. Who was he going up against? John Cena?
Maybe who? Why not? Right? Like probably. So.
I guess. Yeah.
And basically, right? They just made a cage out of bamboo rods.
Yeah, and they were climbing and
very awkward. The whole thing was just very. It wasn't even like slightly racist. It was just all the way kind of. They just. You could tell in the boardroom they were just like, do it. The kids with their bamboo. It's all from the same place. It's like whenever we talked about when we say the animals, the moose from.
Oh yeah, the moose from the Philippines.
That's what it is. It's all that same. The same place. They come from the same place. All that bamboo that you see in India. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what their materials are going to get from building that wall.
Of course. Oh my God. Yep. Oh, okay. So I got to do some straight up, like, from the heart shilling before we get to our topics. Sure. So a few good friends of mine, some game developers, if you follow me on Twitter, you've seen my Twitter like light up about this. On Kickstarter, if you go to Kickstarter.com, and in the search bar, type in Southern Monsters. It's going to pop up a game from our good friends at Brave Mule. So they did Matal Remrit. They did Beneath Flows. They did quite a few of these like interactive fiction passion projects. They've been picked up by PC Gamer and Kotaku. I mean, they've had a lot of articles written about them. But that Let's Play of Matal Remrit really got them going. And we covered it on Nitrobeard, too. We had them on the show. And
cool.
Now Brave Mule, Kevin Snow, has kind of expanded. And, you know, since then, he's gotten married to his wife, Priscilla. We got our boys like George Cavalines, who's Nitrobeard regular. Yeah. Mike Lemieux from the, the anime show.
Jumpcast.
Yes, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Kale Warren, good friend of mine. And Patrick Bonaducci, who's Ethermancer, the really awesome artist, a guy that I like aspire to be as good as, you know. Whole team coming back with something that's truly awesome called Southern Monsters. And it's basically let me read this out a little bit, because the premise is really cool. So interactive fiction, if you don't know, it's basically a visual novel. You know, it's a kind of click heavy stuff, a lot of narration, a lot of text. But the text is really good, and it's all flavor text, so it really builds a world and these beautiful paintings that you're looking at while it's all going, and it's a choose-your-own-adventure thing. You can kind of pick what you want to do and where you want to go. But this one is, the game Southern Monsters is set across 5 days in 2005. You play as Cripplefoot, a traumatized teenager too young to make sense of his emotions. To find the monster, you'll need to strike a balance between cryptid research and Cripplefoot's well-being before the dry Arkansas sun sets. And the thing that I think is interesting about this, it says Southern Monsters is deeply personal. It's a dark comedy based on my experiences with online communities, domestic abuse, and being disabled in the weird, weird South. It's also imbued with my love for horror movies, such as Eraserhead, Videodrome. So like, the thing I could say about Brave Mule's past projects are they true passion projects. Like, they have this one narrative thing they want to go for, and they do it real well. And this looks to be kind of like you can eat pork rinds and stuff. They're really building that like early 2000s living in the South sort of swampy area type vibe. Like they have a, you know how you can mount animals on your wall? Right. Where they mounted like a goose head. Just really interesting, like, but it all has a depth to it. And like, it is actually written extremely well. These guys are real writers. I mean, they have edited books on Amazon. These guys are the real deal. And it's just brothers, man. I already pledged. They still got like 28 days and they're already 75% to their goal. So they're going to smash through it. But yeah, man, like I'm stoked for this. It comes out in October. But yeah, I'm going to get I bought the copy with like, they're going to send me an autographed postcard. Just really cool. Okay. You know, just swag, man. But just true good brothers and sisters doing stuff. And it really is like, even if I didn't know the people, this stuff is off the chain. Like the writing is awesome. It means something. There's a certain amount of depth to it that you don't get with like a lot of the AAA stuff, like sequels. And this is truly, they're going for one thing and they nail it. And they've had a perfect track record. So this one's going to be even better because they have a bigger team. And so yeah, just a little bit of shilling. I know it's a shill.
Cool.
But you know what?
You can definitely check it out.
It's going to be good brothers and sisters putting that on.
The little preview on YouTube, on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right. A little something something. Yeah, man. But yeah, so they're knocking it out of the park. I mean, it's only been up for 3 or 4 days, the Kickstarter has, but it's called Southern Monsters. Go to Kickstarter.com, search for it, or go into my Twitter profile and it's everywhere. I think I even have it pinned as my pinned tweet. So
sweet, man.
Go support it, definitely, man. October. Mark it on that calendar.
There you go.
And speaking of marks, and this won't go in the direction you think. It's kind of interesting. Whenever I saw this news, I thought of Marco Flores. So apparently Square Enix and Eidos Montreal have kind of partnered up with Marvel, and they are making a collection of games based in like the Avengers?
So they're making a multi-game, they have a multi-game partnership. And so the first one shows a trailer of like the Avengers and like kind of like reassembling. So like something happened, and basically in that trailer, like, you know, you don't see any of the heroes, but like you see like their iconic, like whatever, like Thor's hammer or Captain America's shield, Iron Man's like, you know, chest piece where it lights up. So something's happening in that game, but like nothing beyond that. So it's just like, it was just basically about an announcement that Crystal Dynamics is going to be making that first game. And they partnered up with Square Enix. Like when I first heard about, partnering up with Marvel. When I first heard about it, I thought like, oh wow, are they going to make like an Avengers Kingdom Hearts type of a game, like that action RPG?
Right.
Because they can go that route. But when I heard that they're going with Eidos Montreal, I was like, okay, that's Tomb Raider, that's Deus Ex.
Yep.
What other games did they make?
So recently they made the new Thief.
Thief
revival. So that's the thing, is Eidos Montreal, I think, has 5 games under their belt, and all of them have been, even the lesser ones of them, like Thief and maybe Mankind Divided, are at least very good. Like, they don't have a bad game on their resume. So when I saw Square Enix publishing and Crystal Dynamics kind of being able to do their thing, and, you know, Eidos Montreal, I was like, wow, this is a direction I was not expecting. Because, like you said, you see Square and you're like, oh, well, if it's a team, we already have Marvel Lego games. More action-oriented party atmosphere stuff. But then they started showing the more narrative-heavy Deus Ex-esque philosophy and how important are heroes and stuff like that. And it's like, you know what? That video game sort of pop psychology work would work pretty well with Marvel, I think. I think there could be cool things to do with that.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, as soon as I heard about the announcement, I saw the trailer, I was just immediately thinking like really, you could just do the leveling of like level 1 to 30 of DCUO, like how you're a created hero, basically, like spoiler alert, like if you never played DCUO and get to the end level, like you join the team, basically you join the Justice League, you join whatever the bad guys team is. I forget who the bad guy team is. But you get to join that main team. You get to team like be with like the iconic characters, like, you know, Superman, team, do a mission with Superman or do a mission with Batman type of thing. You could basically do that with this. If this first trailer is a hint of what this game could be, yeah, maybe you just create an Avenger and, you know, give them whatever powers you want to give them and just do that, create a character that joins the Avengers. And
yeah,
and then you got a game right there. And then again, Square Enix. So you could have the team of, like, hell, you can have like the Final Fantasy 15 team of like that, that yeah, open right, world,
style, yeah,
you know, road trip style RPG type of thing. And
yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go about it with all these different teams.
And even, yeah, even with, cause what excites me is with Crystal Dynamics and the two new Tomb Raider games, really good.
Yeah.
They're very, very good. Like good Uncharted style, third person action adventure, very big, very elaborate set pieces. I think that would be an interesting way to do it. Basically Marvel Uncharted, you know, to where you're, with the crew, you might have joined the Avengers, but you know, Avengers Tower is getting blasted and you have to escape.
That's a good idea right there. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of ways this can go. And I'm very confident. And even with like Deus Ex, you look at how Jensen could like reach through walls and, you know, he could subdue enemies and he could choose to kill them or not. And then it was all very much based on your dialogue choices and,
and
a lot of
ability trees, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you could be the guy that you can double jump up and then like just kind of stampede your way down on and make a shockwave. So like very superhero-esque moves anyway. So this seems to be, I would like to see kind of a mashup between a third person style thing and maybe the superpower sort of problem solving that Deus Ex had. I think if you put those two together and you give it high budget Marvel stuff and it's some sort of canon, do we know if it's canon or not? Like, is this going to be, is it more like the video games will have their own canon and then the Marvel movies have their own canon and then the books have their own canon?
I mean, that's a possibility, especially with this first trailer. But then again, I'm either thinking that this trailer was basically an announcement of the partnership or this is actually going to be the first game. Gotcha. So it can go both ways. You can go like it can be the game can be in its own canon. Or they can grab a story from like the comics that are out there right now, and then you know make a game from that one of those stories. Really can go either way.
And that'd be fun. And Lord knows it's gonna make money hand over fist. So we're gonna lot of them, which is fine. I mean, that's the benefit of having kind of a super team. You can have your Thor game, and then you can have your new Iron Man game, and then you can have So
yeah, definitely.
That's a benefit,
especially when you know you see footage like that canceled. I don't know if it was a canceled Iron Man game or a canceled Avengers game, where I think it was like an Iron Man segment, and I think it was made by Sega. The canceled Avenger or Marvel game. I mean, it looked pretty good, and it was surprising. But then this was at a time where I think Marvel or Marvel Disney was closing up all the licenses to either focus on making their own games.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was in a weird time. It was like they closed up the Capcom license, so I guess they can make their own games. But I guess that didn't pan out. So now they're open again to just giving the license and give it to the people that you know want to make good Marvel type games.
Basically, they're handing it off to teams that kind of probably sign the Marvel Bible as far as because, you know, they do that with the movie directors and stuff. They go, all of this stuff is written by a giant committee. Like, yes, we're going to make another Thor film, but it has to be about this. You know, they are controlling what the narrative is. So the fact that now they have the resources and the money to be like, okay, Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix, here is a set of Marvel games. Which ones would you like to make?
Yeah.
You know,
especially that they're pushing the Marvel Cinematic Universe mm-hmm. more so than like the actual like Marvel Comics universe.
Right.
sorry, excuse me. That's what they're definitely going to be doing moving forward with these games, I think.
So it's exciting. I'm glad to see, because I literally a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whenever we talked about that, a lot of Steam games were pulled. So the Amazing Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
The reason why I found out about that is because I wanted to play a PC superhero game that was not DC Universe or was not Marvel Heroes. And I was like, I just need like a third person kind of beat 'em up Spider-Man-ish thing. Like I need one of those. And then I looked for it and I was like, I could have sworn they made some for the PC. And then I looked further and I was like, oh shit, they pulled them.
They pulled them, yeah.
So this might be why that happened too.
Yeah, I think so too.
So now we know, right? It's because beforehand we were like, why would they do that? Maybe it's because the movie's coming out and they're going to republish them. Or, but now we know that now they have new partnerships with different developers. Mm-hmm. Instead of going the Activision route, now they're going the Square Enix route. So
they're repartnering up with Capcom because they're making Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yep.
Insomniac Games is making a Spider-Man game.
Yes, which I think that'd be great.
Which I'm like really interested in.
Infamous was great. I did that Infamous First Light playthrough on the YouTube channel. I loved it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That makes total sense for Spider-Man. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me think. I'm not sure if there's anything else other than what's just announced and then those two other games, but they're starting up again, and I think because they had like a new director like in video games where the last guy didn't like wanted to keep it all to himself, and then the other guy's like, we know that like people want a Marvel versus Capcom again, and we want to make good Marvel games, so like I'm glad this new guy is like all about it. So
For sure, and I'm excited that the Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3 is coming to PC.
Because
the other day I bought Garo Mark of Wolves. I got that
nice.
So bought that.
Sweet.
I'm like, I'm gonna start a little fighting game collection. I have a few of the Guilty Gears and stuff, but I was like, I need to get more PC fighting games. That Ultimate Marvel, it's gonna be 1080p, 60 frames a second. We'll get it, make a video on it, do something with it.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Because I liked it when I played it on PS3. So now getting back into it and just doing crazy stuff and taking footage of it, that sounds fun.
Yeah. I'd be interested in what your team looks like.
I can't remember who I had the first time I played it. I always try to fit in Gambit. Always, because he usually has decent range. He's kind of like the
Who my team is. I was trying to make Ryu, Captain America, and Hagar work, but there was something wrong with that.
Interesting.
It wasn't gelling with my. I think my Hagar wasn't gelling with my Ryu and Captain America because they were more. I could play with. I was better with them more than Hagar, where I was trying to figure out how to make them fit into the team.
Yeah, because if I remember right, Captain America played a lot like a Street Fighter character. Like
pretty much, yeah.
The way his button. Combos work, and was Hagar one where you had to charge moves, kind of like a Blanka?
Hagar's from Final Fight, so like he didn't have many extravagant moves like Ryu and Captain America and Iron Man and such. But like, he was good up close, and like he had setup for throws, and like his pipe was really good, and like he was more up close setting up. Type of person, I feel like.
So then you tag out. Gotcha. So you prep, you launch somebody, then tag back in.
You mix them up, and that sort of thing. But that was my team. I was trying to make good, and I got some wins off of it. But Hagar often got switched out by like Iron Man or something, or
gotcha.
Or who else? I think Iron Man.
Heck yeah, man. But it's exciting to get back into that. And I'm glad there's more. I just think superheroes and video games make total sense.
Yeah.
Like,
make them good, especially in this day and age.
Oh, for sure. And it's like, how it's just so liberating to have crazy superpowers. And I can jump up. It's like why Saints Row the Third and Saints Row Four were so good.
Yeah.
Because you were the president and you had fucking superpowers. And
he had superpowers.
It's hilarious. And yeah. The games are so much fun. And yeah, it was broken and you were way too strong, but that made it. Like, that was the whole point. So yeah, I think it works totally well. But wanted to touch on that a little bit because I saw that and I was like, oh man, Marco's gonna freaking out right now.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. they were hyping up an announcement. I was like, I was expecting like another comics event and like,
yeah,
and that was that, but I wasn't expecting a games partnership, so I was like, that's cool, that's awesome.
And multiple games. That's the exciting yeah. thing is they'll have time to kind of get in their groove and
right
a lot of fun stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, so I will say before we get to the kind of the main event of the podcast,
see what you did there.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch Stranger Things yet.
Okay,
but
so let's take a break and delve into the weeks before we go on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you start on that because I'm actually trying to think about what I did besides fall asleep at random places. And that's actually a true story. Why the podcast was late is like Wednesday night. I was sitting at the desk and I fell asleep. Ridiculous, right? I'm like a 70-year-old Werther's Original grandpa.
Werther's Original
out on a fucking porch, just like sleeping.
You know what?
Yeah,
you know what? As I get older, those Werther's Originals get even sweeter.
They do, man. Oh, they're so good.
I guess that's a thing.
You just you just soak them. See, because people try to get it and bite in them. You don't do that. No. You get the Werther's Original.
I can see why old people always have them.
Exactly, because you don't have teeth anymore. So you can't bite down. Here's the secret. Okay, so kids, take out your notepads. I know you take notes while listening to Brother and Around. So here is the advice from old man Gardner in Flores. What you do is you get the Werther's Original. And then you open up the beautiful golden wrapper. And you put the Werther's Original in your mouth. And then you forget you have it in your mouth.
Yeah, you just let it
soak for 9 hours, however long it takes, just to get rid of that shit. But let it soak. Don't mess with it.
Man.
Just keep it in there. That's the thing, man. That's the secret to a good Werther's Original. Is you let it, that thing will last for like 2 solid hours in your mouth. It's ridiculous.
As long as you don't be active about it.
Yeah, don't start tonguing it around. Like, no. Like, let it sit. It's like, because all of you youngins, you're the same way. Like, you're trying to cook meat, like chicken or steak, and you keep flipping it, you're going to dry it out.
Yeah.
You're drying out that meat. You're not getting the good flavor. It's a Werther's Original thing. Same thing. It's patience. That's what it is. That's what age gets you. And I legit fell asleep at my computer. I was staring at the computer screen, and then I like, and then I look, and it's been like an hour and 45 minutes, and I was like, oh shit. And then Marco tweeted are we still recording tonight? And I was like, dry drool down my cheek. Like, I'm sorry.
We both, that's why I was laughing. I was like, oh, they both were sleeping.
Yes. So you're right. Well, I don't know what happened. It was just one of those things. It also, like, hell, it was maybe like low blood sugar or something, or like what?
Maybe, man.
Other old people things are starting to happen to my body now. I don't know.
Yeah,
shoot. It's weird stuff, man.
Yeah. So you were saying you didn't get to watch Stranger Things?
Correct. Yeah. So that's gonna be one of those things that probably we'll start sampling a little bit of that next week.
Okay. I mean, I still haven't gone through Leprechaun in the Hood. It's sitting in my phone. But... Dude, yeah, man. So
that freaking movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching other stuff, but like, yeah, it's not Leprechaun in the Hood is not so much of a priority. Like, it should. It's kind of it's silly, man. Like,
yeah,
like, dude, Okay, another scene that I'll kind of spoil is Ice-T and Leprechaun share weed, nice. Smoking in one scene.
Nice.
And Leprechaun is like, what are these herbs?
These mystical herbs.
Ice-T is like, yeah, man, it's herb, man. So, yeah, you know, again, I don't want to just spoil the movie, but like, dude.
I don't even think that that's even like spoiling anything. I think that's adding, you're listing features right now. Like you're selling it more than you're spoiling. Right?
I'm selling it more than Nintendo Switch. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit.
Oh man.
And you can get Leprechaun for way less than $85.
Right.
The disc.
Right. It won't be $340 to play Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Oh, and apparently there's other news about the Switch, and like the more they keep talking about it, I'm like, they don't know what they're doing. Like they don't know how to work pre-orders. They're like, I guess you could maybe pre-order on the system, maybe. And they don't know. They don't fucking know. They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Freaking Nintendo, man. Anyway. there's something and it's funny, I've actually been meaning to talk about this random phone game forever, because it's the one phone game I actually play almost daily. Almost every single day is Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
And I've heard that's the bad one, but okay.
It kind of depends on what you're looking for, because basically what Final Fantasy Record Keeper is, it's one of those, what are they called? Matcha games? Is that what they are?
Oh, okay.
Where it's like daily login bonus, and then, you can gamble three of your gems and do a roll on a rare relic, like that type of thing. So it's one of those, or gacha games or something like that. And
gacha, that's what it is.
So they have that, but basically what it is you do battles in themed Final Fantasy areas. So like Final Fantasy 1 through 14, they're even adding the characters of 15, and they're probably going to do an event to add all the levels to it. But basically you go through dungeons, and you can auto attack through all of these dungeons. You don't barely even have to play the game, but you level up these characters and you collect characters from every single Final Fantasy. So my team right now, let me load it up. My team right now is like Vincent Valentine. Let's see, Vincent Valentine. I know I have Cloud, Sephiroth. So it's kind of Final Fantasy VII heavy. But then I have like, I need to look at his name, Gildebrandt or something from Final Fantasy Tactics. And then I think I have Shadow from Final Fantasy VI. But I've unlocked like 30 or 40 characters, and you can level them all up. Their level cap's 50. Then you can buy items to break their level cap, and it goes up to 99. And there's actual multiplayer raids you can do with other players. Each character has their own like special move that they can do, and like limit break type thing. So it plays like a traditional old school Final Fantasy game, but more of can't think of the name of the game we talked about like a few years ago that you got me in on. Brave something?
Oh, Brave Frontier.
Brave Frontier, yes. So it plays almost exactly like Brave Frontier. But you get to collect Final Fantasy characters, and it's done in really good pixel art. They remake enemies and bosses and storyline stuff. So you go through a record vault of each game's story. And then you play out big major plot points and you do like boss battles and stuff like that. But yeah, it's super brainless. Like you don't have to think about any of it, but I literally just turn it on. Sometimes even at work, I turn it on and just hit the autoplay button and then go through and go through like five or six dungeons. Don't even look at the screen. I get a bunch of awards, and I've legit done that once a day for like 3 months now. So I wouldn't even say I'm playing the game. It's just like the game's
just progressing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm filling up bars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I like it because I don't have to think about it. And I think,
yeah,
you know, I'm a big dumb oaf, so I don't like to think about things.
yeah,
it works well.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I don't know if you've seen on the Google Play or whatever store that you're on, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
Yeah,
is even more of a Brave Frontier type of game than Record Keeper, I believe. I think to the T. So and like more updated graphics and stuff, and better looking art. So if you're into that type of game, it sounds like you are. I would definitely recommend you check Brave Exvius. And then the other good one that I'm aware of, Mobius Final Fantasy.
Yeah, and that's the one that's actually like fully 3D rendered.
Type stuff, right?
Yeah.
I was planning to take a look at it, and I probably will.
Yeah.
Since I got better capture stuff. So you'll eventually see something like that.
Yeah, maybe an LP, that'd be awesome.
Or what?
But yeah, I think the reason why I like Record Keeper so much is like I can literally put it on at work and not
and let it run.
Yeah, let it play itself. And I still am doing something kind of sorta, and I get rewarded to just turn the game on, and it gives you daily login bonuses. And so there's tons of features. You can craft your own equipment, you can do all that stuff. I haven't even touched that stuff. I think I have like 40 million gold. I don't even know what to spend it on. You know what I mean? Like the actual mechanics part of the game, I don't care about. I care about the, I'm going to go collect more Final Fantasy characters. Just have this big library of them. And, but every day there's a daily dungeon, and they'll give you specific items for doing it. So like every Sunday is the double XP dungeon. So that's the time I get my guys who aren't quite up to snuff and put them in the, I get my Brian level 10s and put them with my level 50s, and then that way I level them up real quick without trying. And I dig like Disgaea. Whenever we did the Disgaea Power Hour, and I explained the great thing about this game is you can break the shit out of it. Like it is made to be broken, and I can way get behind games like that because it feels like I cheated the system, even if that's how the system is made. You know, like it's made to get an 8 billion attack score. So, but I still feel cool getting it.
Definitely.
So games like that, you know, just if I don't have to think about it and it rewards me and it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, like good to go.
Yeah. Good to go. totally. I totally agree with that.
You know.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So like I said, I'm looking at the store right now, and I believe WWE Champions Puzzle just came out.
Oh snap!
For like the mobile store, so it's like it's a match three, but like WWE and it kind of looks like WWE All Stars, like type of art style.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a match three puzzle game, but like I think you're seeing matches play out as you're collecting characters. So I'm definitely going to be looking at that. So anyways, let's see. What did I watch? I was watching other stuff. This week, I got into an anime on Netflix called Magi, Adventures of Sinbad. And apparently that's like a prequel to the main series, Magi. Anyways, I was looking for like another, after Koro Makoro, I was looking for another just something to watch.
Sure.
And then while Voltron season 2 was happening, and I'm watching that as well. So I got into Sinbad, and like I really like it. I was looking for an RPG anime because I'm always watching like the fighting anime and martial arts heavy and stuff like that. So I just wanted to find something that's like more on the fantasy adventure side, like an RPG type of thing.
Yeah.
So I got into this one, and it's set in like this Arabian Nights type of thing.
Oh, nice.
Where the main character is called Sinbad, and you basically see his struggle. Of course, every first episode, you see basically how they came to be and see their struggles and stuff, and like how they're going to start their adventure. And I didn't realize what the anime is about is basically these dungeons appear in all over the world, and all these countries are at war with each other to take control of these dungeons.
Oh.
because there's like mass wealth and like dreams come true or wishes come true.
Yeah.
If anybody passes and completes these dungeons. So these countries are at war with each other. And then the main character, Sinbad, his father was against war totally, but he was like a really badass soldier for one country. Mm-hmm. And that country was trying to force him and other people in that country to go to war because like it was the duty of that country type of thing.
Gotcha. Right.
So basically the dad was super unwilling, but still trying to be protective of his own family and his countrymen. But dies in the process. But like that like fast forwards how Sinbad goes about things. Like
I see,
he has this thing called like riding the wave, because there was like a scene where they were in the dad and Sinbad were like in like the water like navigating, and like it was the waves were really crashing hard and stuff. So basically, they're saying like Sinbad is like a really special like chosen one type of thing.
Sure.
So yeah, like you see him grow up, and the whole country thing, trying to enlist him into the war. Sinbad goes into the dungeon by himself, while the country that's forcing him to enlist were attempting to enter this dungeon. And I think the general of the country Sinbad is from, and Sinbad himself, like they get up to the very end level, and they fight it out, and it's in the top level. When you get into the dungeon, it's basically Dark Souls. So everybody's dying.
Oh God!
Because everybody's dying because like they don't know what's inside the dungeon. There's like multiple levels, and whoever's the strongest, gets to advance more.
Yeah.
And there's like puzzles and within these dungeons, so they have to like figure out how to get past certain areas. Anyways, like I said, in the top level, there's these like entities, basically kind of like genies, but they call them like djinns.
Djinns.
So djinns, kind of like genies, so like they're like who's chosen to be the king, because that's the only way that they'll go with what the person is.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
If the person has like either the charisma, like the moral in the moral compass, like the right person to be quote unquote a king, a chosen king, and then whoever gets chosen as a king, then they go to that person, and then they can use their powers and stuff. So like that's where the first kind of like the first arc or the first episode starts off, and it goes off from there, and then you see how he becomes friends with all these other places, people from other countries. So I watched that to the end, and I didn't realize that was a prequel to the main series that came out in 2012.
Yeah.
So like I'm starting to watch the main series now, and then I see, oh, there goes Sinbad, but he's like, he's super adult now. And what I watched before that was like it came out more recently, like last year, but then it was showing how he grew up and how he came to be, type of thing.
Right. So
like it's really cool. Like I was actually surprised. I would recommend that. Just if you're curious and you want to look for like a fantasy RPG type of like anime, I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot because it's just different characters, different like each country is like there's like a different like traditions and like how people look and stuff.
That's
like
cool.
That. So I really like that.
Yeah.
And then like I said earlier, switching that off with season two of Ultron. But like I really like the first season. Season two is still going good. Magi has more of my attention, but then again I'm switching off, and it's downloadable, so like I can watch it at work. So
right. So that is on Netflix then.
It is on Netflix. Both Magi, the entire series of Magi. I think there's two seasons of like the regular series, and then the Sinbad one where I started off. They're all on Netflix.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, season two of Voltron is good. I know that Terrace House Aloha State is out.
Yeah, I
and
saw
it's
that
only
too.
only eight episodes. Like I'm pretty sure I could burn through that like for like a day. knowing how I watched things. So yeah, I mean, things are going good, man. Like, there's good stuff to watch. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Some ways, it's almost like it's almost terrifying how much good stuff there is, because you get that weird, like, what is it called, like paralysis by analysis or whatever. Like you have so many options that you don't choose any of them. Like that's what I run into a lot. Yeah. So I'm like, I have 30 awesome things I can do, so I'm going to do none of them.
Right. And like after I finished one, I was like, man, what do I watch now? And I'm like, this is a very serious, like, I'm like very, very serious decisions, like, because I'm gonna start something and I'm gonna start it.
Yes.
So like, what's gonna have my attention? Yep. What should I pick? So yeah. So right now, those two have my attention.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now I think it's time.
Yeah.
For our main event of the evening. Like I need to get a gig as one of those announcers. I'd mispronounce everybody's name.
Yeah, you got to change your name to Buffer.
That's right. Now he always screams that shit.
He does.
It's hilarious.
That's the gimmick.
That is the gimmick, man. It pays him well. It's a family passed down thing.
Yeah.
Right. Because wasn't Bruce Buffer's dad?
Bruce. Yeah. Michael Buffer.
Yeah.
Michael Buffer is the boxer.
Was the let's get ready to rumble guy.
Yeah, and then Bruce had to switch it up and make it a little bit more different.
Do some UFC, get a little bit of that higher impact energy in there, man.
Yeah, but, man.
So very excited. So my birthday was January 15th, and my fiance, she's awesome, and she got us tickets to NXT TakeOver San Antonio, which is
tomorrow.
I'm looking at the clock right now. By this time tomorrow, there will be 5 minutes remaining in the pay-per-view. So we'll be in the midst of the main event. We may have a new NXT champion, all of it. Like, you know, like the whole thing. Less than 24 hours away now. So we're making the road trip. So I've been to a live televised Raw before in Dallas. It was with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. It was like the main event was like a CM Punk and John Cena tagging against Daniel Bryan and Big Show. I think it was like Raw episode 1003. If you have WWE Network, it was Rowdy Roddy Piper, like a whole bunch of cool stuff. Brock Lesnar like broke Shawn Michaels' arm. It was that whole thing. Okay. Well, whenever they were hyping up the Triple H versus Brock Lesnar match, So went to that. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot going on. Like whenever you look behind the scenes at a Monday Night Raw, there's a bunch of shit that because they come over like intercoms and say, we're now in a commercial break.
Yeah.
Like weird stuff that you don't think about because you don't see it on TV, but then you're there and you're like, oh yeah, I guess they're making it.
But they air a commercial at the arena.
Yes, exactly. So they show you what the TV audience is seeing. But you're still there. So then literally sometimes the wrestlers stop wrestling and they just stand around and then they get like a cue, like 10 seconds, and then they start wrestling again. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, so it kind of breaks the whole thing because they have to do it for TV. But the awesome thing about the pay-per-view and having it on WWE Network, like it's all live, man. You're seeing all of it. So that's what I'm excited about. Is I'm excited for people out there, and like if you got WWE Network and you watch NXT TakeOver San Antonio live, you might see us live. Like we'll be there. Like shit! Like I'll take pictures.
That's when you need to make a sign and put the
audibletrial.com, baby. They'll get a guy tackle my ass out the like. Who's that guy with the audible sign that just got hit by a bodyguard?
One side audible trial, other side hashtag brothering around.
Yeah, it there says good brothers, and then people see we get away with it because people think we're talking about Carl Anderson and Gallows. Like, oh, the good brothers. I'm like, gotcha, bitch. Like, download iTunes.
gotcha, bitch.
So it's really exciting. This is by far the biggest card I've ever seen. Like, as far as like live, we got the main event freaking ridiculous. Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the belt.
Yeah.
And brother, their build has been great because Bobby Roode has played the consummate heel and saying like, why do you only have half your head shaved? You look stupid. Like, that's been the whole thing so far. And then Shinsuke says that Bobby Roode looks like a Shiba, like the Japanese dog.
Yeah.
So that's been the whole gimmick. That's been the whole build for this match. And I love everything about this. And they're going to show up to play because they always do. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys are going to. But the rest of the card looks really interesting to me because the first match out of the gate is going to be Roderick Strong versus Andrade Cien Almas. Yeah.
Have they been building that up?
A little bit, but it's been more of a, you think you can beat me, you can't beat me. And then like, yeah, well, I'll show you. And then they like have a backstage segment and then they get jumped backstage by the other one. So your basic wrestling story, like, you suck. No, you suck. And then they fight.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that'll be good. It'll be good to see Roderick Strong live. He was really, really good in Ring of Honor. Big fan of his then. And
how's Cien as a heel now? Because I know, I hear, like, he's really good as a heel.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing really happened when he was a face.
Yeah, and it's weird, though, because I think he could be... Because I always loved, like, Alberto Del Rio as a heel. I think Andrade could hit that same sort of attitude about it. Like, because he knows he's good.
The same vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he can hold himself the same way. And it is nice because a great heel tactic, and, you know, it's just one of those things, a great heel tactic in WWE is to speak a different language. Because a certain percentage of your audience is going to be pissed because they don't understand it. So he can do that. That's what he's been doing lately. Like, he'll spit on Roderick Strong and then probably curse him out in Spanish or you know, that sort of thing. Like, it does give me a very Alberto Del Rio vibe. I'm kind of curious to see how the match goes because we know both of them are awesome workers, but kind of I'm with you. Like, as a face, Andrade didn't go anywhere. Like, he showed up, he did good matches, but there was no real investment for anything. So I'm hoping. And then the only weird thing is now that Roderick Strong is kind of a pompous dick. Like, that's his character. And like, so you have a heel versus a heel.
And so how can you out dick the other person?
And I don't know if NXT is the right place for that type of thing. I mean, because you're not having like Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens and like a let's out dick each other contest, because those two guys would be the most entertaining thing on earth. But with Roderick Strong and Andrade, you can tell they're still trying to learn that WWE style. So it's almost like they don't have the confidence yet. So
they might as well just play it out in their wrestling match, where we'll check each other, and you know they will one up each other until like it just go on full tilt and.
Yeah,
and everybody's cheering like, hey, you know, either cheering for Almas or cheering for Strong.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because, you know, whenever you watch a NXT pay-per-view or any pay-per-view really on television, you can kind of get a vibe for what the crowd is doing and thinking. But what I'm the most excited about probably is being a part of the crowd and shaping what everyone sees on TV. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what crazy ass chants we're going to do. Like, who knows, right? But to be there and to add that kind of NXT takeover, that depth to it, and that sort of like, this is truly something special, because it's usually the crowds that make the moments now because of how loud they are. They have a funny chant or, you know, it's how guys get over. And that's what I'm hoping this pay-per-view is now it's up to us, the crowd, the live crowd, to really put our kind of flag in the sand and say, okay, this is who we're backing
this is the San Antonio crowd. And
yeah, yeah, we are the San Antonio crowd, and this is who we choose to be our guy. So that's exciting, because I don't know. Like, I don't know which way it's going to go. And I think it's great that that's the first match, because that's going to really tell what the rest of the night's going to be, you know?
Yeah, it's going to set the tempo.
Set the tempo. And then, so after that, I actually think this, the next match is going to be, it's going to be the one that steals the show, because everyone's going to expect amazing things from Bobby Roode and Shinsuke. And I think they're going to nail it, but I think people are undercutting Eric Young versus Ty Dillinger. I don't think they're giving either guy enough credit, because both of those guys are genius in the ring. Like, I'm a big fan of both of them. And Eric Young, if you listen to TNA interviews with even like Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, AJ, you ask them, like, who was your favorite guy to work with? And almost all of them say Eric Young. Almost all of them. They're like, oh, he's a mechanic. He'll go out there and he can wrestle any style at any time for any reason.
Oh, so he's the Triple H then.
Yeah, he's kind of that, or almost even like a Dean Malenko or like Eddie Guerrero, where he can adapt so well with who he's in the ring with. And then Ty Dillinger, I'm really liking the story that he has right now, because it's a little hokey, but it kind of makes sense. He can't win the big one, right?
Oh, like a Goto?
Yeah, yes, exactly. So he's like, he's 36. Ty Dillinger's 36 years old. I didn't know that. He's older, so he has the great gimmick, and he's over as hell. So, but the thing is, he can't quite get that push to get to the main roster.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, you got Eric Young, who can work with anyone on the planet and do their style just as well as they can. And then you have Ty Dillinger, whose entire storyline leading up to this is, I'm going to make it to the big time.
Yeah.
Like that. I'm stoked about it, because if they both show up at 100% and they're going whole hog, man, it could legit be a surprise match of the year, like for wrestling period, because I think both of those guys got it. I think this is the right story, because Eric Young is part of Sanity, right? He's part of that weird faction, to where it's almost like the Wyatt family, like, you should join us.
Yeah. Like anarchy.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like, you should be somebody, you know, join us, the Bullet Club type of thing. And then, you know, join the dark side. And Ty Dillinger's like, no, if I'm going to make it, I've worked too hard. I'm going to make it my own way. So there's a lot of story stuff going on with it. But just basically, those two guys can work so well that I'm interested to see them work well together.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Let's see.
Oh, Ty's guaranteed to be in the Rumble too, right? Like, it's official that he's... I don't know if he's... Yeah. Unless he's talking as if, like, he's like, oh, I'm just messing around.
Yeah, I don't know, because we're having a lot of that on Twitter and stuff, like those behind-the-scenes videos. Like, oh, Ty Dillinger, what do you think of the Rumble? And then, he said it in a weird, like, passive voice, almost like, well, if I was in the Rumble, I would do this. But he never said it that way, so I'm like, is he in the Rumble or not? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm hearing that he is, like, but I'm not sure if he's confirming that or if he's just like playing with the audience.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. So,
I mean, hell, he deserves the call up. I think he'll do good on the main roster. I think the 10 gimmick is over. I think the 10 gimmick is over so well. Like, they were doing it in New Japan during Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice.
Like, whenever the ref would be counting, you know, if someone was like, getting counted out, everyone was just saying 10, 10, 10 for every number. And I'm like, oh, shit, if this made it into New Japan and, like, Evolve and stuff, this is over. He's got it made.
Cool.
So I expect it's one of those things that I think the crowd, they might be into it a little bit, but I think as that match goes on, you're going to feel that build and that kind of rumble in the crowd. Like, oh shit, these guys are going for it. And like, that's what I'm excited to see. So then the next one, and this is where I think the biggest surprises could happen. Because there's so many moving parts to it, is the Fatal 4-Way match for the women's title. So you have Asuka versus Nikki Cross, the girl that's in Sanity, Eric Young's faction.
Nikki Cross?
So you have Asuka versus Nikki Cross versus Billie Kay versus Peyton Royce. So Billie Kay and Peyton Royce are kind of the... They sort of have the femme fatale, weird, maybe slightly lesbian thing. Who knows? WWE, the, you know, how they just the two, just the two women, and they wink at each other and like, so they're a tag team sort of,
like cool.
Yeah. So that's sort of what the vibe they're going for. And so it's a fatal four-way, meaning Asuka does not need to get pinned to lose the belt.
Yeah.
So they've built Asuka as a monster. Basically, she is the Brock Lesnar or Goldberg of NXT women. I don't think she's lost a match. Shit, has she lost a match? Like,
I don't think she has.
Legit, I don't think she has. So she's undefeated.
Yeah, she's undefeated.
Fuck. So... I think this is the best
Yeah, challenge to her is to have her go up against all these people all at once. Yeah.
Correct. So that's how I think. So I do predict that the belt will change hands.
Really?
Because Asuka does not need to get beaten to lose the belt.
Okay.
So, but what I think is going to happen, and I think this would actually be really interesting, I think Nikki Cross deserves the belt. I think Asuka deserves to keep the belt. Like, I'm a big fan of both of them. I want to see either Peyton Royce or Billie Kay get the belt by backstabbing the other one.
Like, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So they're like, oh, we're going to team up and we're going to beat up Nikki Cross and Asuka. And then one of them is going to deceivingly backstab and pin their partner. And then now you have three women totally pissed at the winner. So now you have a group of women that are all kind of number one contenders. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be more interesting. If Asuka still wins, I'll be excited. Like, pretty much, I don't think there's a bad call in this match. Like,
I'm not watching week to week NXT, but as I'm looking at this matchup, like, I know leading up to this, like, everybody on the women's roster, like, no offense to them, but like, I don't think they like compare to Asuka, right?
You're right. Correct. Yeah.
So like, I mean, this is a good thing that they're throwing a challenge like of a fatal four way, but like, out of the other three, like maybe Nikki Cross, but didn't Nikki Cross like just basically just joined up with WWE? Like,
she joined up. Really, she's done a lot on the indies.
Right.
Yeah, she's kind of a powerhouse on the indies. I can't remember what her character name was there. It may be Nikki Cross. I don't know. But yeah, she was kind of the go-to for women's independent wrestling here in...
Cool.
Or actually, I think she's Australian or Irish or...
I want to say Australian? I don't know. I guess I can see Nikki Cross winning, but then again, I'm not fully going with that because like she just started up with NXT and that deal, and with Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, again, I don't watch weekly, so I haven't seen the chemistry with them and Asuka. I'm just not convinced.
Yeah. So the thing is, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay just remind me of very early Bella Twins. So I will say the Bellas have gotten a hell of a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say Peyton Royce and Billie Kay have, they do some high kicks and they do the old, the China cartwheel to the back thing. I can't remember what they call it, but basically the corner spot where they do a cartwheel and just kind of back up into somebody.
Handspring,
the handspring sort of guillotine thing, whatever. They got that. to me, they very much feel like WWE women's wrestlers.
Okay.
But then on the other hand, you have Asuka, who actually just feels like a New Japan wrestler. Like, just, she could go up against Shibata and have a hell of a match type of thing.
Right.
And then you have Nikki Cross, who is closer to Asuka's style than to the WWE style. Like, very, like, not afraid to throw good forearms, like Chris Hero style forearms. Like, she's tough. It's she's not afraid to tackle people. She's not afraid to actually kick someone in the head. Like, so she's a more stiff worker than the two other girls. But so and I will say, if this was Asuka versus Nikki Cross, I think Nikki Cross wins.
I would be shocked. Yeah, I would be shocked there. But then again, I don't think anybody got a day one Divas title, right? Or NXT women's title
and that's
on
true.
Day one, right?
Correct.
So other than Paige, you know, on debut on Raw.
The Divas belt. Yeah. But I think I would have Nikki Cross go over because that builds another monster in the women's division. So now you could do a hot potato with Asuka and Nikki Cross, like fighting, doing the whole Sasha and Charlotte, like that whole dynamic, but with like a stiffer style, and then have these challengers come up, like Ember Moon. You have these, you know, Liv Morgan, I think her name is. So you have these other women that can come up and try to be number one contenders, but still kind of lose, but they still get good experience working with these more veteran wrestlers. So I think there's a lot of playing around room. I do think that it's time for Asuka to get called up to the main roster. Like, she's proven way more than enough in NXT. But I don't think it's boring. A lot of people think it's boring because I think Asuka's kind of like Brock Lesnar. She doesn't lose. She squashes people all the time. It's not fun to watch. I don't mind watching it because she gets her stuff in. It looks good.
Not at all. Like, I still have a blast watching it. I'm waiting to see if somebody to match up to her.
Yeah.
When I do watch those matches, because right now, I'm not seeing anybody on that roster. That entire combination of the Fatal Four-Way, those people can be like the Sasha, Charlotte, and Bayley, and
Becky,
they can be that combination with Billy Kay and Peyton Royce being the Becky or something like that.
Sure.
I can see it with those combinations.
And I agree with that. And I think what's going to help both Peyton Royce and Billy Kay is to have them split up, because they're doing okay right now. And they're kind of I guess their gimmick is like, they're just kind of bitchy about people and like, we're the true superstars. Who are these heathens over here? Like that sort of like holier than thou shit. And it works. They play it pretty well. But I do think they would work better if they were rivals. Like, they've built this established rapport as a tag team, but I think having the two like high class bitches going at it, you know what I mean? Like the sort of Cruella DeVille, Cruella DeVille versus Cruella DeVille. Like, let's do that. I think that would work well. And I hope that's what this is setting up. I hope it's a quote unquote heel turn, but I don't know if you're both heels, how do you do a heel turn? But it wouldn't even be a face turn because it would be backstabbing. So there's interesting things that could happen with this. And I do think that it would be good to show Asuka is beatable, but the person has to earn it. Like, they have to put her through the freaking ringer. Like, that's the type of women's match that like, you're probably going to see blood in it, is whoever beats Asuka has to beat the ever-loving God out of her. Like, just sort of, you know, just doing strong style kicks to the forehead. Like, that's how you beat Asuka.
Totally.
And I think Nikki Cross could do it genuinely. Like, I think they're building her whole character. She's kind of like a berserker. She doesn't even say much. She just like goes and bites the rope. She's like a Tasmanian devil. She's like, ah, like she's crazy. Like she plays the crazy gimmick well.
Like her George Animal Steel.
Yes. Yeah. She comes in and her eyes are twitching and stuff. Like she just wants to like rip stuff apart. And I was like, okay, that could beat Asuka. Like someone who's just a frenzy. And how do you like avoid that? And my kicks don't work anymore because this person's just insane. Like,
yeah,
I could see that winning. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I think it'll be a surprising match. I think it'll be one of those that I'm excited to see Nikki Cross and Asuka actually trade blows because they haven't yet.
Yeah.
Like, I think Nikki Cross kneed Asuka in the face and it was pretty solid. It was a pretty solid shot. I was like, oh, damn. I think this past week Asuka did like a roundhouse kick and caught Nikki Cross in the side of the head, and that was a pretty good one too. I was like, god damn,
these
women are gonna kill themselves. Shit.
Nice.
So
now that makes me think, like, when Asuka does get called up, I think if she goes straight to SmackDown, then again it'll be NXT all over again with that current SmackDown roster of women.
Yeah, because she's going to eat Alexa Bliss alive.
We get to see Mickie James versus Asuka again.
Oh, which was great. Great match. Yeah. Like, super good. Actually, I think Asuka might do better on Raw because someone has to take Charlotte down a peg.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte thinks she's all this hot shit, and then she gets kicked in the face. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then Asuka's like, oh, what were you saying about being real good?
Asuka will have more of a challenge on Raw, definitely, yeah.
And then even Sasha coming in, because I think Asuka and Sasha Banks, whew.
Oh, yeah.
That could be WrestleMania caliber, like, hell yeah, give that to me. Like,
I would be concerned for Sasha, only for the fact that I'm afraid of her suicide dives.
Oh,
That's it.
Oh man,
that's all. So much of taking the kicks.
And taking those bumps, and like she takes bumps, crazy man. See, I would love Asuka versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania for the women's title. Like, oh my god. So I think she might be a better fit on Raw, but because with that triangle, you could drop that belt between three, and it would be okay. Like, now Asuka has one up on, you know, Sasha, but now Sasha has one up on Charlotte, and now Charlotte beat Asuka, and now, you know, now you have this triple threat thing going. I mean, I don't even know what my prediction would be, but I do think Peyton Royce or Billy Kay is going to backstab the other and end up with...
That's where you want to go.
Yeah, I'm feeling that a little bit. Because I don't think there's going to be any run-ins. I don't think someone's going to make another premiere. Like, I don't think this NXT takeover is going to be about that. Like, oh, and now, you know, Chris Hero is going to come out as Cassius Ohno and clothesline. Like, yeah. I don't feel that that's going to happen this time.
Does Ember Moon have a match?
Not on the card. She had one this past Wednesday against...
For TakeOver. Because that's hometown, right? Other than it's... Her hometown is what, Houston or something?
Dallas or Houston. Yeah, one of those. So I think Ember Moon was in Dallas tonight because I know NXT had a house show.
Oh, okay.
And people were like, hey, the hometown girl. So
Yeah,
I think she had a good little run. I think she actually fought Billy Kay or something. So
because
it was Asuka versus Peyton Royce tonight for the belt. So we know who won that one.
Okay.
Because Asuka's going to NXT as champ, so that ain't gonna change hands early. But so I guess they're putting it together, I see something interesting coming out of that. And then another one, and I'm interested in this because I'm interested if the David and Goliath story is gonna work the way I think it will. This is for the NXT tag team titles. It's Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus the Authors of Pain. You got DIY versus the Authors of Pain. And I can see this being great if only because of the amazing selling ability of Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
because I don't think they're going to have a match as good as they have with the Revival, that 2 out of 3 falls match. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, dude. DIY versus, if I actually think, and you know how much I love that Sami Zayn versus Nakamura match. Like, yeah. I think that 2 out of 3 falls, DIY versus versus the Revival, I think that was the best NXT match of the year. Like,
okay,
it was, and I don't say this as hyperbole, like, it was the best tag team match I've seen in my entire life. It was better than TLC matches. It was better than, like, if you want to go and look at just pro wrestling and, like, the storytelling of what is a tag team match and what is the benefit of having a partner in the corner, and, like, that sort of, like, cutting the ring in half type of stuff, and the hot tag and hope spots and all that, like, kind of your wrestlers wrestling type of, you know, a true smart mark field day, was that DIY versus Revival match. And I went into that match not really liking the Revival. I got what the hype was about. I was like, yeah, these guys are good. They remind me of the Andersons, you know, like Ole and Arn. They kind of have that old swashbuckler, you know, sort of just go in there and just kick people, man. Like, who cares? You know, that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're going to go in, they're going to brawn over brains. They don't care. They're not into the fancy shit. Let me just put you in a chokehold and you're going to tap out. Like, that's their style. And I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, that works. But then after that match, I was like, I get why people say the Revival is the best tag team on the planet. Like, that was unbelievable. They played the perfect heel tag team. But I don't know where the Authors of Pain are in regards to being developed yet. You can tell they're still very green.
Oh, yeah. No, they got ways to go.
They got a ways to go. But I think DIY is so good, it could escalate the match.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think I can see, like, the Authors of Pain, if you have them winning, then you can have them as a, like an unbeatable tag team, you know, for now.
Sure.
Until you, like, you develop them some more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, I give them the belts, and then, like, it won't change hands for a good while. Because, I mean, I don't think the DIY would get called up. I mean, I don't even know if I want them at this point, but, like, they've been on NXT for a good while as well, too, right?
Yes, they have, yeah. I want to say about a year and a half.
And wait, like what's like the average tenure of, like, NXT up to main roster? Like, 2 years then, if anything?
That's fair.
Or two years max?
But then you run into the Tyler Breeze situation where he was there for fucking 6 years.
Oh, that's right. Jeez.
He was there. Tyler Breeze was there forever.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think I agree with you about pulling DIY up. I think it's a little too early. Like, I think they're ready, but I don't think.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think NXT is quite where it needs to be. Because the big thing is they got, you know, NXT lost Enzo and Big Cass.
Yeah.
Like, that was their showstoppers as far as
American Alpha.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they've already graduated some pretty hardcore tag teams. I think they need DIY around to act as mechanics to get people Authors of Pain up to where they need to be. I think Revival is ready to go, man. I think Revival could go in there and win the tag match, like, tomorrow. Shit, they could win either tag title tomorrow on the main roster. But I do think that DIY needs to stay in NXT a little bit more, just to really cement themselves as the legacy team of we are NXT and this is our brand, and then they can graduate a few other people, and then they can bring them up to snuff, and then pass the torch. They're not quite at the pass the torch range yet. I think Revival passed the torch to DIY. Now it's up to DIY to keep it for a bit, bring up people like Authors of Pain,
TM61,
exactly. And I think what's his face, that dude's out with a really bad knee
injury. Yeah, he's out for a bit. But to pull the curtain back a bit, like, I think Triple H did like an interview like a couple days ago saying that he's saying he's not happy with NXT at the moment because the main roster did pull a lot of the guys that are up to the main roster already. So like they're kind of in a rebuild mode and I can see it like compared to what they were before, like back then, like last year where it was really stacked. To now, I can see where he's going.
You gotta think there was a time, and let's think about this for a minute. There was a freaking time, man, when you had Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Hideo Itami, Finn Balor. You had the best of the best, all at Samoa Joe, all in NXT, all at the freaking same time. Your main event caliber, like with that NXT roster, you could fill a WrestleMania. Like,
exactly.
That's crazy. So of course it's not where that was, because that will never happen again. I don't think in NXT, I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think that was like lightning in a bottle, having all of those guys healthy. Like, hell, it was Hideo Itami saying, hey, I brought a friend with me. And then here walks out Finn Balor. Like, that's how he made his reveal, is like, I brought a friend to fight. I can't even remember the tag team that was beating up Hideo Itami at the time.
Oh, Ascension.
Yes, it was Ascension. That's right.
It was the Ascension, yeah.
Yeah, we don't talk about Ascension. But God. See, that should have been on our gimmick list right there, the Ascension. Wait, wasn't it on somebody's? Their boys?
I think so. I forgot who, though.
but yeah, man, they had it so stacked there for about 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
There was no way that was going to survive. Just that was too much star power all in one place. Like, it was so
good. And the tag team and the women's. Like, it was all stacked, all sides of it.
And I mean, it was so good. Yeah, because I mean, hell, you still had Sasha Banks and Bayley, and like, so you have to think that NXT roster was so good. Nobody watched Raw or SmackDown. Like, they just watched NXT.
They just watched NXT. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, I agree with Triple H that, yeah, it's not where it was then. I don't think it's going to be ever again, but I'm kind of excited right now because it is that rebuilding mode. And the whole thing with like, yeah, they called up a whole bunch of people already and now they have to kind of reestablish what NXT is. But that brings us to the main event. Which is for the belt NXT title match, Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura. So this is the one where I'm going to make my prediction and then I'm going to say that I don't agree with what internet's hive mind thinking is. So I think Bobby Roode is going to win. I do not think Shinsuke is getting called up.
Okay.
So I say that because Shinsuke is the man in NXT. Like, Samoa Joe's now probably going to be in the Rumble. It's almost guaranteed. It's as close to a 100% as possible. He hasn't been on NXT television in a few weeks. He did a house show in Dallas tonight and he kind of put his like towel on the ropes and did the Japanese deep bow to the audience type stuff. And like, okay, I think he's done with NXT. I think this was his last NXT match. I think he's going to the main roster. So now you got Joe out of the picture. Shinsuke. It's so weird because if Shinsuke does go, I don't think they're going to call him up for another few months. Now's not the right time.
Yeah.
They don't need him right now. So.
Yeah.
But I think having Bobby Roode lose unless it's like a kind of quote unquote like a schmoz or a screw job, or let's say Cassius Ohno does come back and he forearms Bobby Roode in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I see Bobby Roode losing a lot of momentum if he loses to Shinsuke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Bobby Roode, I love him to death, and that dude's super talented, like ridiculous. He's money through and through. But he kind of fell into the Hideo Itami thing. Like, here's a legendary wrestler, guy that has been in the business forever, comes into NXT and can't quite mesh with what's going on around him. It's just that gut feeling thing. Like, Bobby Roode has a great entrance, but I think his entrance is more over than he is. You know, in NXT. I think Shinsuke is the hottest thing on WWE, period, right now. I think Shinsuke could write his check for whatever the hell he wanted, and they would give it to him yesterday. But with Bobby Roode, it's a weird thing because we all know that guy is awesome, just unbelievably good. But he's never quite had the money match, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's never had that match that, like, oh shit, this is him. This is, people are going to look back at the Bobby Roode NXT time and this is the match.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm hoping tomorrow night is going to be bonkers. Like, I hope they go all whole hog. And, you know, during Beer Money in TNA with Bobby Roode and James Storm, they kind of had that revival thing. Like, they sort of had the, here's a couple of good old boys and we're going to just punch people in the head. I hope Beer Money Bobby Roode comes to play versus stiff, strong style Shinsuke Nakamura. Because if so, man, we're going to have a war. Like, that building's gonna catch fire because of how hot that shit is. So that's what I'm hoping for. But who knows? Once again, like, who knows? I know the match is gonna be good. I'm gonna mark the fuck out when Shinsuke hits the knee. Like, basically, I will get to see the Bomaye live, and like, I'm still like goosebump type thing. Like, oh shit, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna see him knee somebody in the face.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta tape that.
Right. I'm just going to be screaming the whole time. I'll be like, knee him in the head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to be beside myself. Because that's it, man. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw Shinsuke do the Bomaye to somebody. I think it was to, it may have been Naito. I don't know. But like, God, just clobbered. Like, oh,
beheaded
my
him.
God. I thought he was trying to kill him, and like, kind of the ones he did to Kota Ibushi, Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Just, he did it so much. I thought he legit broke Kota Ibushi's neck. Like, some of those, man, and Kabushi, you know, Ibushi sells so well.
Yeah.
But, oh, just painful. And even AJ took some of them. AJ took some to the back, and I was like, that's going to break his spine if they keep going like this, man. But that, you know, that's why I'm stoked to see it. And like, we're going to be able to hear it from our seats, like just him hitting that knee.
That's awesome. But I'm excited for you, man.
Dude, it's going to be rad. But yeah, I see for the title match, man, I'm seeing Bobby Roode win it. I think he has to.
Okay. I can definitely see that. I can definitely see your point. I think that Shinsuke will win, but he will stay. He won't get called up.
Yeah. So you think he's Bobby Roode will, he'll keep the belt.
Yeah. I just have a feeling of that, but I can see your point of view as well. Because you gotta make Bobby Roode strong. That's the main thing.
Yeah, you're only as good as your opponent. Yeah.
Yeah, and Shinsuke has lost the belt before, so that, like, that to Joe, and they played hot potato with it. So, that's possible. I'm getting more convinced that your scenario is more possible than, because like you said, you don't want to lose that momentum with Bobby Roode.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I think that's why I'm so excited about this NXT show is I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, this could go, and reasonably, it could go any which way for really any of these matches. Like, this is not a, he's got it locked. Like, none of these. There's a lot to gain and a lot to lose. So I think the stakes are more subtle. Like, I think the stakes are higher than people just looking at the card. Like, oh, God, who wants to see Roderick Strong versus Andrade? But depending on who wins that and how they win it, that could be your next NXT champ. You know what I mean? Like, over the course of the next 8 or 9 months. This could be the start of a build for any of these. And Bobby Roode, this could be the start of a long title reign. With Shinsuke, this could, if he wins, this should cement him as the best NXT champion ever. Like, so there's a lot going on. And, like, Authors of Pain, they're getting better. And, you know, if DIY can bring them up and kind of get them up to full NXT kind of title caliber, I see good things. And then that Fatal 4-Way with the women, like, Asuka doesn't even have to lose and she can lose. So... Yeah. There's a lot going on with this card, and I think that's exciting because it keeps everybody guessing. And there's just no way. But I still think I think sleeper hit of the show is going to be Eric Young versus Ty Dillinger. I think I just have that feeling that they're going to go out there and this spark is going to happen, and I'll do my part in San Antonio to yell and make sure it like reads well, you know. But but that's it, man. Like the show, I have no real predictions. Like, how could you? You know, it's like, there's so much going on and there's so much at stake for all these people. And and I do not think that we're going to, I will say, I don't think we're going to get a surprise, like, return of Cassius Ohno, or I don't think, as much as I would love it. Oh man. And as much as I would just drool and in my dream world, Bobby Roode wins the belt because Hideo Itami comes and does the go to sleep to Shinsuke. Like, and then they build up.
Oh, what a turn that would be.
Dude, they build up the superpowers. Kenta versus fucking Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I would have a heart attack. I would die in that building. If that happened, I would die right there. I was like,
after watching it,
there is nothing else I need in this world. Like, you
know, you'd be so pissed if you died and before you watched, you were able to watch that match.
Right. Like, and I hope it happens after fiance and I get married. So then I have the happiest day of my life. And then I have the happiest wrestling day of my life. Like, back to back. And then you can bury me and I'm fine.
And then you can take me.
It's fine. Just tell people I love them. That's okay. But yeah, see, so in my perfect dream scenario world, like, that's the type of shit. But I don't think we're going to get any, I don't think we're going to get any surprise entries. I don't think, because that's not what this one is. I think this is truly the rebuilding pay-per-view. So I think we're going to see a lot of just very solid work by people who are hungry to get better. And that's exciting. That's exciting for a whole slew of reasons, you know, because this is, like I said, this is a start of momentum right here. This is the start. I mean, it's a new year. The first NXT takeover of the year, like, this sets the tone going forward. Exciting stuff, man. But yeah, so I'll be doing some live pictures and stuff. If you hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/combidahobo, I'll have that live stuff going on there. Maybe a few other surprises. Marco knows of one of them. Maybe some fun stuff happening. But
do you want to record on Sunday? Who do you have no voice?
We can have, I'll just be like, hi Marco, like gargling honey. Like, it was so good. Holy shit. Good.
You cannot hear me right now.
Right. I just start typing on the OBS thing. Like, that's all it is.
Oh man. Oh, what was that one power hour? conversations with the guy and the girl bots.
Oh my God.
I forgot what it's called.
Like AskBot or something. But... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible. It's so terrible. Yeah, it's gonna be a repeat of that one pretty much. But yeah, okay, so before we leave, got the music playing, but that's twitter.com/MarcoPolo 177, Mr. Nerd in the Bay, Marco Flores himself. So, most important question for the weekend, man. Who do you got winning the Royal Rumble?
Winning the Rumble?
Yes. Who's winning? Who's going to WrestleMania?
I don't know, man. You have Undertaker, you have Goldberg, you have Lesnar. I think this is going to be somebody's build-up year. I feel like...
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going this way. I feel like this could be Kofi's time.
Really? Wow.
Feel like this can be Kofi's time.
That's a good kind of underdog pick, man.
Yeah, I'm going with an underdog pick. Like, it can be. Like, sure, yeah, Kofi has his moments every Rumble. But, like, dude, I think it's about time for Kofi to get to that next level.
Yeah, and I think so, too. And I think New Day already got the they're selling a shit ton of merch. That's the only reason. Well, actually, that might fuel more merch sales.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he doesn't have to turn on his bros in New Day.
I don't think turning will happen anytime soon. I think because I know Xavier has, or at least Xavier is interested, like expressed it in interviews. They could still do their single stuff, but still be together.
Sure. Like, and that's fine. They could be a faction, like NWO style faction. Yeah, yeah.
Biggie and Xavier either can stay with the tag team or go singles.
Gotcha.
Belt runs.
There you go.
And then Kofi be the main guy because he deserves it. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree, man. He's been a lifer. You know what I mean? He's been somebody. But that's a great pick, actually. And I hope to see it happen because I think he does deserve it. So
I mean, I don't know. I don't have a guarantee who I think will know for sure because. You know, think about anybody that had the belt, like your Ambroses, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Brock, Goldberg. I mean, I can't even see a Goldberg winning, to be honest.
Yeah.
Undertaker, possibly Undertaker belt run there's been talk about it for Undertaker to win the belt and then for Cena to go against Undertaker and for WrestleMania type of thing. But, right now, like my feeling is on Kofi.
Interesting. That's a good pick. So, ironically,
how about you?
My pick is Taker. I think Taker's winning, and the reason why is I don't think he's going to get a belt run. I think what's going to happen is I think John Cena is going to get the belt before WrestleMania. I think the main event of WrestleMania is going to be Taker versus John Cena. And I think John Cena wins. And this is Taker's last hurrah. Like, because Taker has always... The streak was kind of the thing that was the real main event of WrestleMania. Mm. But when's the last time Taker headlined WrestleMania? That was his fucking show. Like, it was all built around Undertaker for like 15 years. Mm-hmm. But he never had the main event. He was always mid-card, but the streak was more important than the belt, so it never made sense to me. Like, put Taker's streak on the line every year as the main event of WrestleMania. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because that's your money right there. That's a two-decade-old long thing. But now, he's not afraid to lose. This could be the thing of his final, last ride hurrah, where... Mm. He's going to try it for one more time, but now the story is here's John Cena, another old hat guy, just still kind of beat him a little too good, and Taker's just a little too old, and now it's time to go. Like, I think he should main event Mania. He should lose. Everyone has the Mania moment of seeing Undertaker's last hurrah. The thank you Undertaker chance. He literally rolls out in the sunset type thing, dead man style, and then we never hear from him again. If I was fantasy booking storyline stuff, that would be where I'd go. I'd want Taker to win it, Because when's the last time Taker won the Rumble? Did he ever win it?
I'm pretty sure he did. Oh, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe not.
So, I mean, once again, a lot of people there, a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah.
But I think it's Taker. I think it's Taker, and I don't think he's going to win the belt. I don't think he even cares about that at this point. I just think he deserves a true, give him a 10-minute long entrance at the main event of WrestleMania. Let let everybody just go apeshit one last time for it, and then he loses, and he's like, peace, guys, that's my time, and then walks. And that, and then that very same year, he's fucking inducted in the Hall of Fame, because that's like, he's, besides Andre the Giant, Undertaker is like the most shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure, so, for sure.
There's no one, there's no one like Taker. It's just, that's the nature of it. But I think he needs one last big main event, one last, like, he's still got it thing. But then, yeah, I mean, the dude's had three hip replacements. Come on now. Like, let's hang it up, bro. Like, I love you, Taker, and I'm so glad I got to see you wrestle at a house show. Like, because he was on my bucket list. But that, it's time.
It's fine.
It's time. It's fine. You fucking proved yourself over the course of like 30 goddamn years. Like, you can go home and sleep. You can spend time with your wife. Like, just go hang out for a bit. Have some beers,
you
know, or something.
Audible trial / Undertaker. Yeah. You can do that. Yeah, you can do that, man.
We'll get you. Get you a podcast. Get you a free Audible book, man. From Brother Around. Just listen to it. You could relax. You could drink a tea. Man. Whatever you want. Just audibletrial.com/brethrenaround. That's all you need to know. And you get to keep the book, Undertaker. You get to keep it.
You really need to make that sign.
You, Taker, you please really sign up for Audible. Sign. Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh my
you need
God.
To make that sign and then bring it to Takeover.
That's right. And people are like, why is this guy bringing an Amazon sign with the Undertaker? Like, does he know where he is right now? Fucking hell.
Oh, dude.
Oh, but that's it. That's episode something. What, 16?
16, I believe.
16 of Brethren Around. Yeah, I'm Wes Gardner. That's Mr. Marco Flores. NXT Takeover, baby. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it tomorrow. Yeah. Hope you see us. I'll take pictures of what our shirts look like. So if you see our crazy asses waving around. Yeah. So the good news is we are on the side of the hard camera. So
nice.
It is very likely that you may see us. So, yeah, I'll take some pictures. You'll see the big bald doofus.
See, I'm going to look for it.
I think Brittany's actually wearing the better shirt. She has a really bright yellow Macho Man Randy Savage shirt.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, man. But we'll take pictures of them so people can see it. And yeah, just look for us there out there. But, dude, it's sold out. 11,700.
Oh, that's awesome.
11,000 people just cheering their ass off, man. But, yeah, we'll talk about it. You'll see me on Twitter, all that stuff. But, hey, what's that? What's the Royal Rumble? Let's see if either one of us are correct. We'll
get
it going. But, guys, that's our time. Episode 16 of Brethren Around. We will see you guys next week. But until then, peace.
Peace, guys.